Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording in our new studio at the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. We open our show today with a global news story emerging out of San Diego's East County. Imagine being told to convert to a different religion or be driven from your home or killed. How would you feel? That is what is happening to Christians in Iraq right now. So on Friday, local Iraqis, led by the Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce, held a rally in Promenade Park on El Cajon's Main Street. They carried an American flag, proud to be in a land where they can be free. But their hearts ache for family and friends back home. More than 50 people came, many wearing white shirts, emblazoned with a crimson cross and the words, "Save Iraq's Christians." Men and women of all ages stood solemnly in the crowd. Community members spoke with passion, asking for help to save Christians left in Iraq and families forced to flee to escape the violence. After U.S. troops pulled out of Iraq, the radical terrorist group, ISIS, invaded and declared a caliph or Islamic State, and now Christians are facing genocide. Dr. Farouk Georges shared the latest chilling news from Iraq.
We are here again because of the terrorists. The U.S. and the free world unfinished business. Terrorist, my friends, is a serious threat for the civilized world. Defeating them is a human task. It's our duty to defeat this cancer. Yesterday, as you heard, the ISIS, which is another branch for Al-Qaeda, they issued a decree against the Christians of Nineveh. Nineveh is the land of the forefathers of the Iraqi Christians. Over 6,000 years, the Christians living there since they were Assyrians before converting to Christianity 2,000 years ago. They're asking them to leave or to convert to Islam or being killed. That's what the Holy Book of Quran says, and they're going by it.
Dr. Georges told East County Magazine that he believes the American withdrawal of troops from Iraq was too fast. Dr. Georges wants to see a peacekeeping force in Nineveh. He says, this will prevent the devils from getting into our homes.
We ask our government, the U.S. government, to pay attention to the Christians of Iraq. Those people, they need a safe haven area in their own homeland. They need a safe haven area by leaving some of our troops over there, and with coordination, Iraqi government and the Kurdish government. That's what we need to be done.
Dr. Ghassan Hanna called for a safe haven to be created for the Iraqi Christians inside Iraq, or as one banner in the crowd ironically read, a safe heaven.
Thank you, everyone, for the opportunity of joining us here to show our support to our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, the innocent Iraqi Christians and Syrian Christians. The Western media has always bombarded us with the images of violent Middle East, of armed groups attacking each other, killing each other to the death. Well, news to all, Iraqi Christians have no arms. Iraqi Christians have no weapons. We are true Christians. We believe in peace. We believe in the message of Christ. Who kills each other, who attack, are those who are selling Islam as a religion that is being practiced in violence, an attempt to impose an ideology, racist, supremacist, and one that has no tolerance. We are getting killed, we're getting attacked, not because we're fighting, not because we're attacking Muslims, but mainly because we're Christians. That's all. They keep attacking us. They keep kicking us off our houses, off our homeland. We haven't done anybody harm. We love our land, and we want to live in peace. That's all. That's our crime. But we face an intolerant group, a group that believe in a supremacist ideology, a group that believe that Islam and Muslims are better than everybody else. And consequently, either we are second-class citizen, or we get killed, we have to pay taxes, jizya what they call it, or what they're doing nowadays, they cut electricity, they cut water from our towns. Those who are in Mosul's, they've already finished them off. They managed to get rid of everybody in Mosul who's still around there, which is few tens. They've already marked their houses. Those who fled have their houses stamped as the property of the Islamic State. Those who are outside Mosul, who are in our towns and villages, they've cut electricity, then they've cut water. So they're cutting them off in an attempt to force them to flee. Or the next time, if that doesn't work, they kill them. Churches in Mosul, and by the way, Christianity in Iraq is 2,000 years before Islam came. We are one of the oldest, really oldest Christian communities in the world. Before Rome was established, we had our own church. And those churches, and you see pictures, those followers of Islam goes and knock down our crosses and put their Islamic flags. We need the support of everyone. We need President Obama to wake up and stop his misguided policy, his attempt to always present things in the Middle East as if they are between groups that are fighting each other, so the heck with them. Let them kill each other. Well, what about people that are innocent? What about people that are not fighting? What about the values that this country stood for? What about the soldiers that we sent to Iraq and died? I was deployed to Iraq twice. Twice I went there, and twice I worked with them. What happened to all that? I was stationed in Spiker. I was stationed in Ghazlani, which is the Mosul base. And now this base is controlled by ISIS. We used to get bombed by them. So what's happening? Billions of dollars were spent. Billions of money was wasted. And now they sit aside and they don't want to do anything. I mean, is this really what a government, a superpower, should be just doing? I mean, what about the respect for the dead? For your own dead people?
Photos taken by media in the Middle East were passed out at the rally to show the bloody killings carried out by the terrorists against families, even young children. A religious leader decried the murders and spoke the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. The crowd joined in. A speaker from Los Angeles said that over 40,000 Christians have been killed in Iraq. That's about the same number of Chaldean Christians now living here in East County. Why has this happened, and what can be done? The speaker berated political leaders in both parties for their inaction.
Republican or Democratic, they never look. They go to the church, Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, call the name of Jesus, but they see their brother being killed in Iraq, they walk away.
Then he issued a warning suggesting what is happening in country after country in the Middle East could someday happen here, too, if Americans are too complacent.
Islam, we live with them. They are in peace in many ways. But Europe and America, they train in them to be enemy of that. They buy and buy money. Saudi, next is you. Next is Jordan. As the way Libya gone, and Egypt gone, and Syria gone, they will be gone, all of them. There was more freedom in Syria than any nation on the earth. But today, they bring thugs and murder to devastate all the churches in Christian and Muslim and Syria. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Some pleaded for safe passage for Christians out of Iraq, but most of all, they want a safe haven in their historic homeland, where even the symbols and artifacts of ancient Christianity are now being destroyed by the terrorists. El Cajon City Councilwoman Instar Bales, an Assyrian Chaldean Christian, was also at the rally. Some passerbys chimed in, honking horns and revving their engines. Ben Kalasho, president of the Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce in East County, said a fund has been established to help Christians who have been forced to flee their homes.
We are collecting funds in order that we can disperse them for the basic bare essentials to be used to give to Chaldeans, Assyrians, and Syriacs in the Middle East for food and shelter. That website is www.gofundme.com/Save Iraqi Christians. And those funds are going to be dispersed through the Assyrian Aid Society to ensure that they get funneled to the appropriate people. They are the boots on the ground. Any donation that you can give, we'd be thankful for it.
Two Muslim men, clad in Arabic robes with checkered gutras on their head, also came to show support for saving Iraq's Christians, though they did not speak publicly. One was an imam, a religious leader at a local mosque. The other man, Abed Al-Dafar, said his brother told him about the rally. "We came straight from the mosque," Al-Dafar, a Shia, told us. "Persecutions of Christians in Iraq is not justice," he says, and he denounces the suffering. And then he reveals, "My nephew married an Iraqi Christian, and we all celebrated. In Iraq, we don't discriminate between religions." Speaking through a translator, he told us that what is causing all this chaos is extremists from other places, from Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, and that some of Saddam Hussein's followers have now united with ISIS. One of the most heartfelt speeches came from a woman named Claudine, who closed by pleading for help to protect Iraq's Christians in their homeland, ancient Babylonia, in Mesopotamia, the cradle of civilization.
They're asking them to leave their homes behind or convert to Islam or pay extra taxes. That's not fair. We have lived in that country. That was our country before it was Iraq and many Middle Eastern countries. I'm asking anyone in power, Mr. President Obama, and anyone who has power to help those people, please help them. We are not asking for a lot. We just want to live with everyone in peace because we are Christians. But I see, unfortunately, history is repeating itself. It was 100 years ago that by Turkish government, Ottoman Empire, our people were killed again 100 years ago and around 1914 to 1918. And it's happening again. I remember my grandfather telling me as a child, he was like 4 or 5 years old, and he was the youngest among his brother. With his mother, he had to like go to the mountains of Turkey and go all the way to Russia and take refuge. And we have been refugees for hundreds of years. This has to stop. Just because we don't have a country, just because Assyria doesn't exist nowadays, this doesn't mean we are dead people. Anyone can walk all over us. That's not fair. That's not human. We want to live with peace with everyone. But we don't have a country. We don't have a voice. It is not fair to live in Russia, then go to Iran, and then be persecuted again, and then have to come to the United States. And then even here, we don't have peace, and we have to hear about the people we left behind in Iraq, in Iran, and Syria, that all these things are happening to them. Please, anyone in power, please help our people. And for us Christians living here in land of freedom, Assyrian, Chaldean, Syrians here, we're all brothers and sisters, we're all one. We have enough enemies. Let's be united. Let's get our hands together and hold each other. Let's comfort each other. Don't be politician. Just have a heart for our own people. Thank you.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. My special guest today is Ben Kalasho, the president of the East County Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce, and we have just come from the Rally to Save Iraqi Christians, which was held in downtown El Cajon today. Ben, tell us a little bit about what the latest developments are that you're hearing from Iraq.
The latest developments that we've been hearing from Iraq as of yesterday
was that Christians who are living in Mosul, who stayed in neighboring cities, are now having a letter N spray painted with red on their doors. And this sort of behavior reminds me of like the Holocaust, when all the Jews had to wear the Star of David on their, you know, on their arm.
Very frightening. And the N signifies that this is a Christian household.
Right. And the N stands for Nasiri, and it'll signify it's a Christian. So then they're faced with three choices, and the choices are: you either convert to Islam, you pay a tax, which is referred to as called jizya, or you die. So they have to pick one of those three choices.
Horrifying. So, I mean, it's chilling. And this is all occurring right after the Islamic terrorist group, ISIL or ISIS, depending which translation you look at, has essentially taken over much of Iraq, including Mosul, and declared it to be an Islamic caliph or Islamic state.
Right. In the past 2 weeks, 4,000 families have evacuated their homes and are making their way either up north or to neighboring communities, wherever they see fit to seek safe haven. They have no money. They're just taking whatever they can take to carry on. They're leaving all their belongings behind. They are leaving their homes and their vehicles behind and making their ways secretively to find shelter, food, and to escape persecution, and to, in essence, escape the three choices that they were given.
Some of the speakers at the rally made very clear that the Christians who are being killed over there are not being killed because they're fighting back or doing anything at all that's aggressive, but simply because of their faith. And the media in the Middle East has published some very graphic photos, some of which were shared at the rally, and they were really disturbing, and even more disturbing when you hear the stories behind them. Can you share those with our listeners? And listeners, if you have small children, this is pretty graphic. You may not want them to hear this.
Yeah, and this was something we were deciding on, whether or not we would print and for everybody to pass out to kind of see. But I think it was important that we show real-life situations, real-life pictures. The first photo that we printed out was a decapitated 9-year-old, and her whole family was slaughtered, and she was too. The second photo, we showed a 19-year-old who was brutally gang raped and had a cross hammered through her mouth and out the back of her skull. Mm. And the third photo, there was a picture of a funeral, and showed a lot of grieving mothers wearing all black. And it was because there was an assassination at point blank range against their whole family when they broke into their home. And the fourth picture is actually from Syria, and it showed the four Christians who were crucified 2 weeks ago, and it showed a picture of one of the Christians crucified.
It's just horrific beyond words. And some of the speakers who spoke talked about how the violence is being perpetrated almost entirely by terrorists who have come there from other regions. They've come in from Syria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, other places, the people who've become radicalized. It was interesting that at your rally to save Iraqi Christians, there were two gentlemen, one at least was an imam from a local mosque, who came to show some support for this cause. The other gentleman spoke with us and said that his nephew had actually married an Iraqi Christian, and that not everyone over there believes the way these radicals believe, that before all of this happened, that people could live in peace and respect people of different faiths over there.
Yeah, it was important to see those gentlemen there. I think they were representing the Shiite community. We had sent out an invitation to various imams in our community and representatives from Kurdish, the Sunni, and the Shiite communities to join us. And I've said this different times. It's up to the moderate Muslims in the community here, and primarily in Iraq, because they are the majority, to condemn these violent acts, to condemn terrorism, whether they are coming in from, spilling in from different countries. I think the number one country which is sponsoring the terrorists who are doing the most horrific of the crimes in Iraq are Chechen terrorists from Chechnya. And that's at least what we've been hearing. But again, it's up to moderate Muslims in Iraq to say enough is enough, to draw the line in the sand, to stand
with their fellow humans, more so than just to say, well, we're going to stand up with Sunnis because we're Sunni or Shiite because we're Shiite and so on, but to stand up for it and to end this barbaric violence, which is not doing anybody any good.
Yeah.
People, innocent people are dying, children, people are just trying to survive. We're just at the point of trying to rebuild Iraq, and then this happens.
Now, there is short-term and long-term issues here. The short-term issue is that there's this massive humanitarian crisis with thousands of people who have been displaced from their homes, some of them with only the clothes on their back, no food, water, and so forth. So I understand there's a relief effort that's being started to get help for them in Iraq or wherever they are at the moment. Can you tell us what people can do to help?
Yeah, so the only effective organization that has the means and the troops on the ground to really disperse funds for Christians and other minorities in Iraq is the Assyrian Aid Society.
And to be clear, that's Assyria, not Syria.
Correct. Assyrian, Assyrian Aid Society. And they've been out for, I think, 25 years. So they're reputable, and they are an influence in the country and
is
in the region.
Christian-based group?
Yeah, so to say Chaldean or to say Assyrian or Syriac, you're really essentially saying the same thing.
Right.
So we are partnering up with the Assyrian Aid Society, and we've set up a crowdfunding website, and that website is www.gofundme.com/save Iraqi Christians. And that website, I mean, all the donations will be given to people in need, and the Assyrian Aid Society really does have a clear database of just who those people are, and they'll disperse them accordingly, and we're going to be getting the message out through our own Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce and contacts.
Very good. That's the short-term solution. What is the long-term solution, Ben, in your view?
I think the long-term solution and the thing that we're working with people in Parliament, in the Iraqi Parliament, and the various dignitaries in Iraq is that we're ultimately trying to create a new province for Christians and other minorities in Iraq, the 19th province. Basically, for those that don't know, Iraq is a central-style government. So when there's monies allocated for certain provinces, the central government is so far away. I mean, if you can try to imagine, the central government is so far away and out of tune with what a specific region or a province needs that funds will be allocated for something, let's say, structural, but then they're really lacking electricity, or they'll be allocated for building new water mains and supplies, but they'll really need structural or bridges. So they're really out of touch that way. Or, you know, speaking about what the specific needs are in a province, monies will be structured differently for a province that's primarily Shiite, if the elected official in parliament is a Shiite rather than if they're Sunni. So it becomes a real mess. And we'd like to see is a province for Christians and minorities, and the funds and the monies will be allocated for those specific needs. So try to imagine no monies will be to a province currently to rebuild, say, a church, because that's not what they're thinking about. That's not where the money is allocated.
Right. And under the caliphate form of government also, I understand, Christians are considered sort of a substandard minority, and they're not allowed to, even if you pay this tax, you're not allowed to hold certain jobs. There's a lot of discrimination that occurs.
Right. There's a lot of discrimination that occurs with certain jobs. They lose voting rights, actually. They, besides paying the tax, we've also heard from different speakers that Christian towns, smaller than provinces, are being messed with and played around with when it comes to water and electricity. So they'll shut the water off and the electricity off and say, well, you know, you're Christian and we have to provide water first to the Muslims in the area first. Wow. And it's that sort of horrific things that we're hearing. I mean, gas prices right now, we've spoken to people there and they're saying that gasoline, which is, you know, I want to remind everybody, is just right under their feet. We're seeing lines forming. And this is something I've never heard of in the history of Iraq, when we were seeing lines forming at different gas stations, because people are just really unsure and unaware of what's going on. So that's what the purpose, I guess, of this rally. But the long-term solution, like you said, is we wanted to create a new province, and I think we see that ultimately as being the the thing that's going to calm everything down.
How realistic is that to occur with the political situation over there? What's going to stop the terrorists from just simply disrespecting the new boundaries if one were created and continuing this wave of violence?
Well, I think Nouri al-Maliki, having Nouri al-Maliki there will make this process difficult. I think if we get somebody there who is more open-minded and more progressive, and provide, if this 19th province was created, it would need to be policed and governed just the same way as all the other provinces. So, for instance, if a militia or a terrorist group were to come in, the police and the army or whoever is there can't lay down their arms because they're getting paid by the government and they're being paid to protect. So it's difficult. How realistic is it? It's not realistic with Nouri al-Maliki in power.
So you think we need a change in the prime minister over there before this is likely to occur?
Yeah, I mean, we look at his failed leadership now. I mean, ISIS rolled in there with 1,000 fighters while the Iraqi army was 30,000. So they were 30 times greater, but they left they took their boots off, torched whatever U.S. military weaponry that was there. So at least they did that right, so ISIS wouldn't pick that up. But they left all that behind, yet they were outnumbering ISIS 30-1.
Amazing. All of the speakers who spoke are Americans, Iraqi Americans. All of them voiced their patriotism. They began the ceremony with a Pledge of Allegiance to the United States. But that said, some of them were critical of the U.S. for pulling the troops out as swiftly as they did. So on the one hand, you have Americans who are weary of 10 years of war and soldiers' lives being lost, our young men and women. And on the other hand, you had some who said the pullout was too fast and this disintegration of order and the massacring that's occurring of the Christians now may partly be the result of the American foreign policy. What are your views on that issue, Ben?
We were privileged and had different speakers from representing various organizations that even range locally and even nationwide. So I think a lot of the stuff is anecdotal. But I think that, had we been talking in 2003, I think that 2003, 2004, early 2000s, it was on the burden to keep civic obedience and law and order was on the Americans and then the troops and everybody there, because they didn't know how democracy worked. They were used to dictatorship and so on. But if you fast forward now to 2014, I don't see the need for U.S. troops on a scale that we had before. I think that, again, I want to say that in order for Iraqis to keep Iraq for Iraqis and to maintain stability, to grow as a nation, they need to come together under the flag and unity of being Iraqi first. Mm-hmm. And then all the other things, if you're Sunni, you're Sunni, if you're Shiite, you're Shiite, and all the other subsects of that. So until that happens, there is no point in sending U.S. troops there. We spent, I think, $30 billion training Iraqi troops. And look how well that worked. I want to touch back and say 1,000 ISIS militia terrorists made 30,000 Iraqi troops flee. And so that's not the answer. I think because they're all ethnocentric in their own ways, that really causes friction, division. People are saying, well, if the Sunnis left, why are we going to sit there and fight? And if the Shiites left, why are us Sunnis going to sit there and fight? And that's the problem. I think everybody comes in under the flag and commonality of being Iraqi. I think we'll see it prosper.
Well, Ben, I definitely want to thank you for joining us today. Do you have any parting thoughts that you want to share with our listeners? Also, you've mentioned a petition. Is that still available for people to read or to sign?
Yeah, the petition is on the Assyrian Aid Society website, and I don't have that with me. I think it's assyrianaid.com. It might be .org. There's different petitions. One of the petitions is for minority groups and Christians who have put their names on the visas to seek safe haven elsewhere in other countries to expedite that process. That's one of the petitions. Another petition is to create a new province. So hopefully you can find one of those petitions, sign it. It'll take 2 minutes of your time, and we can get things going.
Okay. Do we have any word on whether any of these refugees are going to be coming here where we already have a large and stable population of Iraqi Chaldeans and Assyrians?
Well, yeah, they're going to be coming here. And if they end up not coming into San Diego, they'll find their way, because Christians from Syria and from Iraq usually congregate around churches. And as you know, in El Cajon here, we have many Chaldean, Assyrian, and Syriac churches. So they'll find their way.
All right. Well, if that happens and there's a drive locally to help the folks that are arriving, let us know and we'll certainly help you get the word out, Ben.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us today. We've been speaking with Ben Colasio, the president of the Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce here in East County, about the increasing turbulence in Iraq and the rally to save Iraqi Christians. Thank you, Ben, for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Thank you.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.